You're listening to KNKX. On our show Sound Effect, we tell stories inspired by the place we live. That's where this next story comes from. And here's Sound Effect host, Jennifer Wing.
Today's theme is under the influence. And for Tacoma native Tim Olson, the person he wanted to hang around and learn as much as possible from was local guitar maker and musician Harvey Thomas.
His thing was to play a triple neck guitar that he had made sitting in front of a set of organ foot pedals that he had adapted and an old-fashioned drum machine. And then he would play country western hit songs with his own satiric lyrics. And he played all the bars and things in Tacoma and Seattle.
Now, Harvey's mostly famous for making really unusual guitars in shapes like crosses and axes. Some of his original creations are on display at Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture. But he was also a larger-than-life figure. He was a stout guy with a glowering brow and giant mutton chops. And some of the things he did were really odd, like hanging guitars in the trees. He also pulled some bizarre pranks.
He has some gripe against the county government, you know, something about tax rates or something, and that he lit a car on fire in his driveway and called the fire department just to prank them. You know, I don't know. I mean, he would do that kind of thing, but it was his place and his stuff, and he would just do it his way.
Harvey Thomas passed away in 1987. Harvey was not a warm and fuzzy mentor to Tim, who went on to make his own guitars. But over the decades, Tim has come to revere his old teacher for more than just his craft. Sound Effect producer Allie Ferguson went down to Tacoma to talk with Tim about how he first met this pretty intimidating character back in 1964 when he was in the fifth grade.
And I aspired to play a guitar, but I didn't have a guitar, so I thought I would make a guitar. I had none of the necessary equipment, knowledge, or anyone to advise me, but I went ahead and made some early attempts. So I got to the point where I had made something that looked a little like a guitar, and I needed a pickup, you know, the active electronic part. So at the music store, I asked the guy for a pickup, and he didn't have a suitable thing for an electric bass. So He hesitated, like he didn't want to say this, but he said, "Well, I know this guy, he's out in Midway, and he's kind of a nut, and he might like you, he might not like you, so if he doesn't like you, you know, he won't help you, but he has what you need, so you could look him up." I had to talk my parents into driving me out to halfway to Seattle to meet a guy who was kind of a nut and might not help me, so that was a hard sell, but they did eventually take me out to meet Harvey Thomas, and I met him, and in his way, he helped me.
What does that mean?
Well, he never really was encouraging. I mean, I was very encouraged by the fact that he existed, but he never said, "Come on, kid, you can do it." You know, it was more like, "Well, that's not how you do that. You use a drill," you know, and so that would have to suffice for encouragement. You know, he was an aloof mentor.
But you went back quite a bit.
Oh, I did, as much as I possibly could. I don't know, it's like going to a museum and seeing something fantastic and knowing it's there and knowing that there is a possibility of it is just what drew me back.
And what is it about making a guitar that is so, I don't know, alluring, attractive?
Well, it's kind of infinite. You can never have made every kind of guitar or a guitar that has every wonderful quality. And on top of that is the whole aspect that then it's a tool for a musician. And then they bring something to it that you couldn't bring to it. And that's infinite. So there's really nothing like the experience of hearing a guitar that you've made being well played.
What guitar do we have here?
Well, this is a standard Maltese Cross Harvey Thomas guitar. It is shaped like a Maltese Cross.
What is a Maltese Cross?
It is a square cross with four flaring arms, like a marksman's medal or something like that. It has a long and legitimate history as a Christian symbol and as other iconic kind of a shape. You know, it's eye-catching. You don't see a Gibson or Fender built that way.
Did he have any relation to Christianity? Was that why he's building it this way, or just because of the shape?
Oh, no. No, he... he liked to shock. he liked to do outrageous things and wear and display outrageous things. And he liked to drive Cadillac hearses. He had several of them. And he would emblazon his name on the side of the hearse and drive to the gig. Yeah, he liked to draw attention to himself, shall we say. Part of that is showmanship. And part is genuine eccentricity, which I think is a type of genius of itself.
How did you know his eccentricity was authentic?
Well, it was completely played out in everything that I saw of him. You see, Harvey was a country western guy, and this was the 60s. So the country western aesthetic in those days was like suits and cowboy boots and lots of sequins and crazy emblazoned lettering and two-tone everything. At the same time, the hippies were doing something that to me was very similar. You know, a lot of wild clothing that would confound the expectations of more polite people. Hair and whisker styles that were not of the mainstream, and then a kind of a community feeling around that. You know, so as a kid coming into a hippie culture and period of my life, this all seemed just fine, right? It was just all the same kind of thing. But of course, to Harvey, as a right-wing adult, what he was doing was responsible mainstream stuff. And what those hippies were doing was some crazy. You know? So I felt a kinship that he claimed not to feel around that.
Was there a point where you realized you would kind of never get close to him, or did you ever kind of want a deeper relationship?
No, really didn't. I never aspired to, a lot of people, I think, in the stories you hear about mentor relationships, it's like dysfunctional families and this sort of thing, and they're looking for the father they never had. That wasn't my problem. I had a nicely functional family.
What was the importance of having him as a role model then, if you know he wasn't fulfilling that emotional need, but he certainly was fulfilling maybe like kind of an intellectual creative need?
Well, like I say, the main thing about him was his eccentricity, which was genuine and was played out in every aspect.
And how have you tried to adapt that to your life?
Well, see, there you go. I believe eccentricity is a real inborn thing, like genius.
So you're not eccentric. You wouldn't consider yourself eccentric.
No, I don't think I'm a failed eccentric.
But are there parts of that way of living, that boldness that you've incorporated into your life?
Well, here's an example. This house I'm living in here was not built as a house. It was built as an Oddfellows Lodge Hall in 1891. So when Deb and I got married and were looking for a place, I had to have the possibility of a guitar shop. So we were thinking about, you know, a tiny little apartment and then renting somebody's garage or something like that. We drove by this place. It had a for sale sign on it. We weren't thinking of buying because we didn't have any money, and my folks didn't have any money, her folks didn't have any money. But we said, let's call them up and have a look at that place, because don't you wonder what's inside there? And so we did, and it turned out to be cheap, and we were able to swing it. But yeah, I think Harvey's example gave me some courage to think that something as far out of the mainstream as owning an Oddfellows Lodge Hall as opposed to renting an apartment was at least worth investigating. So thanks, Harvey. You gave me a little courage there.
That was Tim Olson talking with sound effect producer Allie Ferguson. These days, Tim uses the first floor of his old Odd Fellows Lodge to publish and distribute the American Luthry magazine, a quarterly journal for guitar makers.